This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch and I am, as ever, joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? You good?
I'm absolutely terrific, thank you, Lee. I'm having an absolutely marvellous time. Christmas in full swing. It is, you don't stop me now. What's more importantly, how are you? How's Luton to the seafront?
I'm on top form, mate. Top form. I'm in good form. Yeah, it's good. It works busy, which is good. Yeah, it's nice. It's a good time to be a taxi driver at the moment.
Yeah, it was a nice. It was a bit of a weird end of the week, wasn't it? Being a Dons fan with all of the unfortunate stuff with Danny Macklin, bless him. Just really delighted that he's home, to be honest. And I'm wishing him all the best. I know that he came on the podcast and we were quite honest with our reflections and he came on our podcast and I'm grateful that he did. Whatever people's viewpoints are and stuff, nobody wanted him to be in the position that he was in. And I'm really hoping that he makes a speedy recovery and gets back to some sort of happiness. But we talk about it a lot, don't we, on here about just if anybody is feeling that pinch, and it is a really weird time of year. You notice it quite a lot with obviously working at a school. You notice it really quickly. The minute the word December comes, the kids' behaviours just change. Mm. Like, people come up and they get really excited or kids shy away. And just to reach out, I know it's a weird time of year, but if anyone is feeling particularly lonely, isolated or frustrated, just try and reach out to somebody. Even us, I don't care who it is. If you're someone who's feeling isolated and you want someone anonymous to talk to, please reach out to me individually. I'm more than happy to entertain anybody who feels like they want to just talk to someone. And I'm sure that's the same for you, mate.
No, I totally agree. And I think the nail on the head was there that Danny's safe. Mental health is a massive part of the world we live in nowadays, which is good because it never used to be. When I was growing up, it was men don't cry, men don't have feelings.
Do you think that mental health has got better, mental health has got worse, or is it just a different world that we live in now?
It's a different world we live in now. I think it's a strange one for me because obviously it's like anything, cards can be played, do you know what I mean, to suit agendas and stuff like that. But I think with social media and stuff and the pinch that we're in at the moment and with COVID that we went through, do you know what I mean? I think, yeah, mental health is a massive part to play. I spoke to a few of my friends the other day because my mental health sometimes is on the floor. I spoke to a few of my mates and told them how I'd been feeling and stuff, and they were really good and helpful. And someone who's been not in Danny Macklin's position, but like within job roles and stuff like that, but in a position of my mental health really affecting me when I was younger, Yeah, I hope he gets the help that he really does need. Everyone can see that on socials. I think he's done the right thing now by coming off social media for a little while. Yeah. His main priority has to be his health and then his family's as well. So hopefully he'll get the help that he's needed. It was a tough read, reading the tweet that he sent out.
Yeah, that was again, really rough, wasn't it?
As you said, I it's funny. I was messaging him. Me and him were messaging because he said some personal stuff about me around the club and stuff. And do you know what I mean? For me, I'm quite thick-skinned. I can take a little bit of stick, but I get quite a lot of stick from this podcast, and I have had stick for it. And I think people really need to realise what is going on regarding we are two lads who do a podcast to chat about football in Wimbledon and don't take it too seriously. But yeah, I was talking to Dane Macklin, and I've never not liked him as a person kind of thing. I didn't agree with some of the stuff at the club. But I hope he really now gets sorted. He gets a position, maybe go and do some voluntary work or something, gets himself sorted. Because it's not nice to be in that position. I think most people probably could say they have been in a position like he with his feelings more than the job stuff. But yeah, it's not a nice place to be in. And yeah, sometimes you can't help it. I've got loving family and job's good. And then sometimes I just feel like, well, what is going on here? Like, I can't get out of it, but it's fine. It's good to surround yourself with good people, I think. And that's one thing. And as you said, Danny, there is the podcast is here for a reason. It's to give people a bit of joy. Do you know what I mean? As I said, not everyone agrees with what we're saying, but I'm not too fussed about that. We're here to have a laugh, talk about Wimbledon. And if people love it, they do. If they don't, then...
Well, one thing that unites you and Danny Macklin is your lack of hair. I know I was in a wait, but I can't. Can we talk about Josh Davidson's hair yet? I'm literally watching in the background. I'm just seeing Cucurella walk on with the worst haircut. Is this a golden era of terrible haircuts? Or is it just a phase? Because at the moment, there are some shockers.
To be fair, right? Again, well, I think it's not a new thing, though, terrible haircuts. Because... It's the times again. We live in a different world nowadays where people can have braided hair like that. And I think, who is it? Nunes has got it now as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he looks like a plonker. I would tell Josh Davidson.
Oh, God.
I think he looks really silly. But then that's a bit rich coming from someone who has no hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
someone who's bald trying to tell someone else how to do their hair. But you got to remember the days of the mullet. Footballers had mullets. Do you know what I mean? What's this? I can't have it anymore. But what's with
but didn't everyone at that time? Everyone have a mullet. Like in the 80s, it was the rage.
Everyone's got these haircuts now. Look, Nunes has got it. I bet you. I can't speak right. And
no,
people,
don't speak about it.
Irish Gary will back you up on this because I've been
Irish Gary Saxby.
When David Beckham went through his haircuts, I pretty much went and done every single one. So I had the mohawk. And I was out of Portugal, and we were in Lineker's bar in Albufeira. I think it's Albufeira. We're in Lineker's bar, and I got given shots from the barman, free shots, for winning the worst haircut of anyone in that bar.
I had
the blonde hair when I had hair. I had it blonde. Nice. I had it permed once when I was younger.
You absolute beast.
I also had the thing once where I thought it was really cool. Do you remember Alien Ant Farm, the band?
Yeah.
The guy had a lion.
Okay? Are you okay, Ian? Oh, yeah. No, you didn't.
The guy had a lion going through his hair. I thought,
you absolutely
had that done. So even though I think Josh Davidson looks like a plonker.
You've literally done the rounds of being a plonker, yeah?
I've been in Josh Davidson's shoes, but I was a 21-year-old thinking I was the bee's knees going out to Portugal. That's where I met Steven Gerrard. I'll tell you my Steven Gerrard. We digress a little bit, but I'll tell you my Steven Gerrard. We're in Lineker's bar in Portugal. I've got my mohawk thinking I'm the nuts. Steven Gerrard walks in. I take a photo with him and all this. But before he walked in, we were in this bar and there was loads of girls in there. And we were like, blimmin' hell, this is the nut. Like, a bit like the in-betweeners, do you know what I mean? We're in there trying to pull our dance moves off, thinking, oh, we are the nuts in this bar. About 5 stone lighter then, hair. To be fair, I'm a good-looking lad, got the charm. Do you know what I mean? Well, the Riz, as the kids call it nowadays.
Big time.
Chatting all these women. None of them are interested. Right? Steven Gerrard walks in with about 10 scallies. He goes, no, this is not for me. Walks out and literally the whole place just left, like all the birds left. And there was me, Irish Gary, think even Stu Deakins was on this one with us. I don't know if he was. I think wow. Stu was there. Stu passed out in the garden because he can't handle his beer, so he only had two beers. Passed out. I fell asleep on the floor in our villa. But yeah, Irish Gary was with me, and yeah, all the birds just left because Stephen Gerrard left.
I just remember
but haircuts have always been shit.
Yeah, I just used to get Vinnie Jones haircut, flat top. Basis I was for ages. The evolution of my hair has been pretty static. I've kind of, when I was seven, I got a flat top and I've pretty much had a similar-ish kind of hairstyle. My wife, bless her, she said to me, go and get your hair cut, but go and try and pretend to be somewhere near your 40, which I am, obviously. I don't look it, but obviously,
because it's the thing nowadays, isn't it? What is it? A fade. People ask for fades, like a high fade, medium fade, low fade. Like my boy Jack, he's always going in asking for, and I'm like, just ask him to trim your hair, mate. He's like, I go Turkish barbers, even though I'm bald.
Oh, the Turkish barbers is
oh, good.
No one else can talk about it unless you've had one. Do you get the fire on the ears?
Yeah, well.
Oh, I love that.
The thing is, everyone goes, why do you go Turkish barbers? You're bald, right? I've got a bit of a beard going on, and it grows round the back and the sides, but not on top. So they proper shave it all off. The whole, the white stuff, what's it? The foam, about- not. It's not shaving foam. It is, but it ain't.
Sucks they do out, that. Yeah.
I get all that done. I get the beard trimmed. I get a massage done.
Love the whole lot.
They give me a beer. Oh, it's good.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, football haircuts have always been pretty bad. And I think it depends on where you come in the country as well. Because if you're Scouse, like Stephen Gerrard and Neil Mellor, you remember Neil Mellor?
Yeah.
Well, they only had one haircut. They couldn't do anything else with it. It was just that. The Barnett was the same. No
did
matter
you ever
what.
Dye your hair? Like, you know, remember like Robbie Fowler when he dyed his hair? Did you ever dye your hair?
Blonde, like David Beckham.
Yeah, I used to get the frozen tips.
I dyed it black.
Did you?
Yeah. That was from my
goth. That
was my goth days.
Yeah. You and trying to be like Gary Blissett, yeah?
Well, it's quite, because one of my mates from Essex, down with, he's got more clubs than Tiger Woods, this kid, all right?
Love it.
We call him Fat Neil Mellor. He's lost
Fat
loads
Neil
of weight. He got COVID and lost loads of weight, so it's quite annoying now.
Fat Ben Affleck, Fat Neil Mellor.
Well, you know what I mean?
A lot of fat. And then
fat shaming. Fat shaming, eh? We live in a century shaming. That shouldn't. But haircuts in football have always been pretty bad, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because you get like the real iconic ones, like, what's it, like Baggio with a little ponytail, and you got Valderrama.
Well, look at Ronaldo's. You're talking about bad haircuts.
Exactly. R9. You're looking at like R9. What's that?
People went out and did R9. Have you seen the clip on YouTube of the kid who goes, he wants Ronaldo's haircut? So his dad gives him an R9, but he actually meant Ronaldo, the Portuguese.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. So he goes, what is this? He's like, you asked for Ronaldo. It's only Ronaldo. But I've had this Zidane for years, mate.
We got a guy at work. I think I probably told you, gets his haircut every week.
That's mad, isn't it?
Like, proper mental. And I don't know why. He is he's one of them guys that I've never seen him look anything but smart. Like, it's just immaculate. There is everything about him. He looks perfect. There's not a hair out of place. You know, one of them annoying.
Is he married with kids?
He's not married yet. He hasn't got kids. So
yeah, that's probably why then.
Yeah, I think he probably does.
Yeah, I used to look perfect until I had three kids and two wives.
Well, talking of, you know, not getting a hair out of place, should we talk about our cruise in the FA Cup?
Just got one more haircut to mention.
Oh, I did the bridge, though.
My mate Richard Cassells, Titch, his hair looks like iron filings. You remember the iron filings? So if I got a magnet near him, I could do his hair for him. That's how bad it is. Anyway, go on in. Sorry, I missed up your link. No.
What you've done is you've, just because you've got a personal vendetta with Richard Titch, where it is, what you've done is you've killed me.
Well, the reason why I've got a personal vendetta with him is Lemony Evans, right?
Is this a haircut again?
No, Lemony Evans. We're going into Ramsgate now.
Oh, you're going into Ramsgate now.
So he's playing really, really well at the moment, right? And I thought he was really good against Ramsgate.
I think, yeah.
I said he was a waste of a loan.
You did? Are you going to apologise for that to the audience or not?
No, never apologise.
Of course you won't.
And then Titch keeps bringing me up on it every single time because he said he was mustard and we should try and sign him. And I have to agree now. I think we should try and sign him.
I think he's good. I think he's a solid League Two footballer. I don't know whether he would make the jump.
But no one needs to make the jump at the moment, do they? So why are we even talking about a jump to League One? Because we don't even know if Ali can make the jump to League One yet.
Well, no, but if we're going to get promoted, you don't get promoted with League Two players. You get promoted with potential League One players.
No, you get promoted with very, very good League Two players. And then you bring in League One players. Yes, you do.
No, you get promoted. You get promoted with players who are potentially good enough to play at League One. Hence the reason why they're at the top of League Two.
No, I mean. Anyway, Ramsgate.
What do you mean not having it? It's a fact.
Anyway, Ramsgate.
Don't pipe me off with that nonsense.
You can't talk about Ramsgate because you're at a Carol.
Stop eating during the podcast. That's very unprofessional.
I've got some really good sweets.
Well, before we even get to that, let's talk about the camera change, obviously, the most important bit. It threw me completely. But what I don't know is, where is the camera then? So from the ground...
The problem is you can't have it every game. You can only have it in this game because they took up some seats.
Oh, is it?
So in the East Stand, there was like a blue section, blued out.
Yeah.
Probably about 10 seats in the East Stand.
Well, obviously they can't do that because we sell out every week.
Oh, mate, don't even get me started. We'll talk about Swindon later, but the club are already going about it's going to be close to a sellout. Stop doing that and actually go send your tickets back if you can't come. Keep pushing that narrative. Anyway, you're getting me off tangents the place, then.
It was weird because I kind of only saw, I was at a carol service. I absolutely sung my heart out. I was sensational, obviously. All the kids were like, oh, there's Mr. Baker. I must tell him how great he was. But I watched the highlights. I was like, oh, Jake, when obviously we scored. And I was like, I'm sure that, what? It's weird how different the game is. When you look
really annoy me about the Ramsgate game, right?
Oh,
and okay. I do hold a vendetta here. So in 2007, we played Ramsgate away. We drew 1-1. And I told you about this before, when about 20 or 30 of their lads steamed into Wimbledon fans, women. So I don't like Ramsgate, right? Never have done. Never will. Glad we smashed them. Goodbye. I hope your tyres went down on the way home as well.
Toodaloo.
Right? But everyone was bigging them up, patronising them pretty much, going, oh, well done on your big day out. You bought loads. You were really good for your club. But nonsense. Can't stand them. Glad we smashed them. The second point I was going to make, which I've just forgot because I was too busy going on about Ramsgate. What was it I was going to say?
But
yeah,
it's gone.
Oh, wait.
Oh, here we go. Second time in 5 minutes. Go on then.
I think I forgot again.
Oh, how can you just remember and then forget again? What, you a goldfish?
I've got so many points about Ramsgate to make about the game.
I will carry on because dead air is a
crime. Oh, no, I've got it. I've got it. Sorry.
What?
I've got it. So the other point I was going to make, and I was messaging the lads at the same time going, these lot are really annoying me by they think they can play like Man City. They were trying to play it out from the back all the time.
Yeah,
trying to play
that was weird,
football. It's like, boys, you're non-league. You're in Roman Division 1, right? You might be able to play that way in that division, but you're coming up against we are a decent League 2 outfit. You know what I mean? We can beat Stockport the other week. We smashed them.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to play out from the back? Well, I know it's their philosophy and all that, and that really does my head in modern football nowadays. This is our philosophy. We're going to stick to it no matter what. I get it at youth level up to the first kind of thing. You have a philosophy, but it's bollocks at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well, surely the primary objective, it's a weird one because, yes, like we had Robbo, and you want to kind of have a philosophy and you want to have this, that, and the other, and I get it. But ultimately, the prime objective is to win.
Or for them was to draw and get a replay.
Yes.
Get more money and try then nick one.
Yeah, and I said that means that you just chuck it forward. Well, we'll play in your half.
Because their striker, who's meant to be half decent, who scored the most goals for him in their league, I think he's got 9 or 10 in their league, didn't get a touch on the ball in that game at all. Didn't touch it. I thought one of their players was actually quite good. A young lad, I forget his name, Pad Fanley or something, I think, played up front or just behind the strike. I thought he was good. I just thought the way they were trying to play it, right, if that had finished 10-0, there would have been no complaints the way we had chances. We were professional. We'd done a really good job on them. Really good. Everyone was professional. We'd done fantastic stuff on the pitch. But yeah, why are you trying to play it out from the back and stuff like that? And also, ITV4 annoyed me as well. Why are they doing interviews with the manager during the game? This ain't Soccer 8. It's an FA Cup second round tie. They're interviewing the manager like it's a big deal. I'd love it if we had scored at that time when he was getting interviewed. It's literally a couple minutes later we scored again. But
they had that at Maidstone the other day on that, you know, like Soccer Saturday where it is. They had that the other day.
It's not Soccer 8. It's professional football. But yeah, we were electric. It's annoying because Ali played really well.
So did we actually, I mean, I know it's Ramsgate, but do we actually play well?
Yes.
And we were good everywhere. Or was it a case of
first 10 minutes?
We just mullered them.
First 10 minutes, they come out of the blocks and we didn't really settle at first. And then once they messed up and gave us 1-0 lead, we kind of just relaxed into the game and we just took them apart. Our wingers were quality. Jack Curry and Biller, they showed everyone what we know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every single player on that pitch, they showed how good they are, as what we've been saying. The only thing that annoys me is Ali was so good again. He got man of the match and everyone's talking about him again, which is not what we want when people are sniffing around selling him. But there's three players that get, I think, for me, that are really underrated in our team.
All right, got it.
So, Johnson.
Okay.
Johnson's really underrated. Goes under the radar. People talk about Lewis more than Johnson. Johnson's our player. What a signing he's been.
Yeah,
wins headers. Calm on the ball. Football-wise, he's brilliant.
And can actually play with the ball.
Yeah, and he just does everything that you need him to do. He's great in the other box as well, from corners and free kicks. The other one, everyone talks about Reeves, how good Reeves is.
Yeah.
Jake Reeves, great goal, dictates play for days. But Amani Little is something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
His legs have been amazing, right?
I don't get it, because it's a totally different player to what we saw at the end of last season. Totally different player.
Is it, though, Lee, a similar player to the first time we had him? So before the end of last year, the first 6-7 games, is it that Armani Little we've got now again? Or is it a better player?
It's probably the same Armani Little, but he's playing with better players. And this is no disrespect. We've talked about Alex Woodyard for days and we don't really need to go mugging him off again. But you're playing with Jake Reeves, who can dictate, and you know he's behind you. So Armani Little can run all day long, chase things down, get the ball, and gives it. But he's so good. He's such a good player. And he's so underrated by everyone talks about Jake Reeves. But Armani Little, I think I saw people scoring him the other day. I don't even know if Scores on the Doors did, or I know Don's Observer did. But they were giving him 7.5 or sevens again. He was at 8 or 9 most weeks.
I think he's very good.
And another one for me is Nurfield.
Okay.
His work rate.
Because we've been a little bit in and out with him, haven't we?
I loved his attitude. Love his attitude. Love his work rate. He scored a goal. Didn't really go mad celebration. He knows who he's scoring against. Do you know what I mean? I just love his attitude at the club. And he epitomises what Wimbledon's about. A young player who was at a Premiership club. Do you know what I mean? He went on loan to Sutton. He's come to us permanently now to make his career in football. And I just love his attitude. I think he's brilliant. He's no, don't get me wrong, he's no Tilly, he's no Lemony Evans. He ain't going to score every week. But he tries. And his defensive work is really, really good. So
yeah, and how was Sasu? Because he's kind of, it's a weird one with Sasu at the minute, because his loss has been Lemony Evans's gain, right?
Yes.
And now we've realistically got Nerfield, Tilly, Lemony Evans have all been, well, Tilly's been one side and the other two have played. Where are we at with Sasu? Like, why do you think he's just not getting any game time? Is it
because the others are better?
Is that what it is? You don't think there's been anything, and do you envisage him sticking it out for the year with us, or do you think that is a case of, okay, you need to go and get some game time?
He'll stick it out for the year, I think, because there's no one else on the bench that can offer him what he does at the moment, really. I think he'll stay on the bench. I just think, yeah, Lemony Evans is a better overall player. Tilly's a better overall player. Nerfield's a better overall player. I like Sasu, but yeah, I would have them three in front of him all day long. Johnny Jackson, as we'll talk about him later, but he's frustrating with his subs again against Ramsgate. We're cruising, absolutely cruising. I'd like to have seen us make subs quicker and maybe change it around a little bit and maybe try a new formation against Ramsgate. Do you know what I mean? They were out of the game, completely out.
Yeah, I mean, I missed pretty much all of it. And what I did, I was like, I'm going to watch the... As I said, we've got this growing group in our school who are watching Wimbledon more. And I was like, right, what I'll do is I'm going to keep my mouth shut, get to the end of the game, get straight in the car, come back, and then I'll watch the game. And I literally, as soon as the car service, they stopped singing to Right See You Later, these kids are like, Mr. Bailey, it's 3-0. And I'm one of them people, the minute I know the score, I can't re-watch it. Like my old man, I could tell him exactly what score in a minute, and he'll watch it like live. I can't do it. Once I know, I know. But I spoke to a couple of guys who haven't seen us much. And he just raved about Al-Hamidi. Absolutely raved about how good he was. So Ipswich then, a bit of a... Is that... should we be grateful because it's probably home and it's probably a sellout? Or are we thinking, realistically, that's probably not a million miles away from the worst draw we could get?
It was a dead draw for me. It was boring. Yeah. It's good that it's home because we'll make some money. They're flying. Their goal the other day, have you seen their goal they scored?
Yeah, West Burns.
Unbelievable goal. It wasn't even the goal. It was the build-up and everything about it. It was just unreal. It's not going to be on TV. And the only reason it might be, could be moved, because have you seen the draw? There's so many London clubs apparently all at home. So they'll have to rejig it for Met Police purposes. But yeah, it's a bit of a dead draw. It was a dud draw, really, I thought. I thought
you
we played it
switched
in, we threw League One. And
you either want a winnable game or a biggish team, and they're not quite either. The way that they're playing as well, we won't get near them. They've been absolutely sensational.
Yeah, they're a premiership team in waiting at the moment. I think they're, what, seven points clear?
Well, they are at the minute. We've won probably one of the most talented managers on the circuit. So,
the only thing that might happen is if he leaves.
He was linked with someone.
I can't remember who it was. But
if he goes, he's going to have to be seriously... You'd be mad to leave there now. Unless the Premier League team have a gamble or one of them two in Scotland. But that's not going to happen, is it? Because they've just got new ones.
No, I totally agree. And I think, unfortunately, when the draw come out, everyone's like, oh, home draw. Yes, good. Ipswich, everyone was like, right, they're flying. They're a good outfit. Yeah. People say it's winnable, which it is. It's the FA Cup, and you know what I mean. But realistically, I can see us going out, and there's a third round defeat again this year.
Third round, we've had a fair few third rounders, haven't we? Really, which is no mean feat.
But with some of the teams in the draw, though, Dan, you want either one of the big ones, like Man
U
at home,
or you
want someone you think you can beat. And there was enough teams in there that you think, we could beat them. And we didn't get one. Because then once you get to the fourth round, you're thinking, oh, here we go, fifth, like you do a Lincoln from a couple of years ago. But
all it takes is you get one half decent one, and all of a sudden you win the third round. And realistically, in the fourth round, you're almost certainly going to pick someone massive. So, but what I guess the overarching thing from my perspective, having not seen much of it or saw the goals, is we would have struggled. We struggled against Weymouth. We hobbled against them. I know that Ramsgate are lower, but that was a very, very professional performance. You think about Haringey Borough, you think about Curzon Ashton, you think
they're all different, though, because they're all away from home, them games. So
yeah, but
Haringey Borough was away on a Friday night in the pissing down. Weymouth was away from home. Curzon Ashton was away from home. At home against Ramsgate, I predicted 6-0, so I was gutted it finished 5. You look at them in the league, if you know your non-league football, you know that's a hell of a drop. Hell of a drop down. So they would have had to go some on our pitch with the players that we've got. And I think the commentary team, Terry Gibson was one of them, was saying it was the athleticism of Wimbledon. You could just tell the difference. Do you know what I mean? And it is. You've got people like Reeves, Lemony Evans, stuff like that, who are just coming at you, Nerfield Young, coming at you constantly. They don't play against that every week. I always thought we should roll them over. I get what people were saying a couple of years ago. Last year, we'd have probably won that 1-0 with a deflected goal or something. But we're not last year's team. We're a good side this year.
No, agreed.
And it's different. So, yeah.
Happy days.
Right, we'll move on. When we come back, we're going to discuss the selfies that people have been sending in to us. And we're going to keep it going. So we'll come back in a minute.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the selfie wall that Danny came up with. Great idea by Danny. I've got to say, I did not think it was going to work. I did not think it was a good idea. But yeah, I let Danny have this one. And he smashed it. Even someone messaged me during the week and said what an idea that was regarding the selfies. You know, one of them who sent it in, it's quite funny. You know, we got one player who sent in one of him with an ex-Wimbledon player. So there's two ex-Wimbledon players. Do you know who it is?
Well, hold on. Is that allowed? Are we allowing that?
Well, he's a fan in the photo. He's only a kid.
Right, okay. No,
do you know
I
who it
don't
is?
know then.
Do you know?
No.
Spike Britz.
Oh, yeah.
He's about 7 years old, and he's with, who's the old left back we had? The Welsh geezer.
John Mead.
Yeah, he's with John Mead. And I was like, that is brilliant. Everyone sent in one. I got a bone to pick with you, though. Big bone.
Hold on. I'm just trying to find John. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
I'm still a bit overwhelmed with the fact that you praised me on something, which is interesting.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut you down in a minute.
You're going to cut me down?
Yeah.
Well, I've got to hear this.
Right. So you come up with this idea, yeah?
Yes.
And on last week's pod, you said, right, this is the rules.
Right.
Right? Someone sends in a photo, pretty much, I think it was Tanner. Lawrence Tanner sends in a photo straight away.
Correct.
Group photo.
Yes.
In the rules, you said that weren't allowed.
Agreed. Right?
I said, well, I don't think it's allowed, but I'll ask Danny. And
did you now?
He said, well, once the boss, calling you the boss as well.
Thank you. Good. Appreciate that.
Once the boss has decided, let me know. You said, yeah, it's okay. So open the floodgates. Even there was a lad, I can't remember his name now. The lad the other day even pulled you up on the rules. Because I put my boy in for four of the players. And he said, I thought it was only one per person, which is true.
Well, that's work. But look, that's work experience, Joe.
No, because you the rule. And it's like, in the end, we could have done a new game of sending a photo that doesn't have Tony Wheeler in it. There must be about 50 photos in the 100 wall with Big Tone. He's in literally all of them. But
I've seen your boy and three of them here.
Four. He's in with Hennigan, Robbo, Presley, and Zaki Oronanara.
Oh, so, gosh, he loves it. Okay, well, firstly, I'm, you know, obviously, I'm staggered. I was talking to, went out on Sunday, and talking to one of Hannah's mates. I was telling her about this, and I showed her it. She was like, I was like, I can't believe we got 100. Are they all unique now? Because they're obviously one of our great mates, Mark Lewis. He mentioned that there was a double. Is that correct?
Yes, there is a double.
Oh,
work
Jesus.
Experience.
Work experience, Joe.
Yeah, there's two Josh Davisons.
Well, which one's got the better haircut?
Well, the problem is, would you allow two Reeves? Would you allow Reeves from previous season to Reeves now? Because he's been with us twice. Can we have three Callum Kennedys, I was going to say.
That'd be silly.
He's been with us three times. I've got to say, James Howard, he's the one who sent in the oldest one, AFC
right.
Wooden. Because I know that we had Wimbledon ones, but AFC Wimbledon, he sent a picture of him and Dean Martin.
I remember everyone was like, who is this bloke?
And he looks about 10 in the photo, James hilarious. He's
there are also,
stones.
By the way, if we are going to be sticklers of the rules, there are a couple of Wimbledon players in there who are not AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah, but we said Wimbledon.
Well, I'm not sure we did. I'm pretty sure we were very, we stipulated firmly on AFC Wimbledon because there is, obviously, you've got, who have I seen? I've seen Fash.
Yeah, Fash, there's FN and Cuckoo.
Is FN and Cuckoo in here?
Yeah, Stu with FN and Cuckoo on the official podcast.
Oh, go on the lads. I mean, I'm happy to.
There's Gary Blissett.
Is Gary Blissett in here?
I'm sure it's Gary Blissett, yeah.
Next to Lemmy.
Remember Lemmy? Lemmy that we had. Peter with Lemmy. Legend for ho. Another one was what's his name? The Welsh kid who plays for us, who's gone on loan to Woking. Morgan Williams. His dad sent in a picture of him with his son. Legend. Matt Everard's son did make me laugh.
Yeah.
Because he sent a picture of him with another player. And didn't send a picture of him with his old man. And some of them are brilliant because some of them are like the Kyle would. Kyle
the
does Don's vlogs, not Don's vlogs. He does Don's on tour. Sorry, a vlog. He looks about four in the photo. It's brilliant. Some of them are quite young, and it's like they're adults now.
On the bottom row,
yes,
right. Who is the player above Dave Besson? So you've got Dave Besson in the bottom row, which is third from the right on the bottom row. One above that, there's like a group of four blokes.
That's Morgan Williams.
They look like they're just on a golfing holiday.
Yeah, that's Morgan Williams with the New York hat on.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Right. Well, so obviously, I'm very, very honoured that, you know, my idea, I'm going to say it one more time, that my fantastic idea reached the height of perfection. The question now, though, let's be blunt, I feel like we're missing some big guns. And I feel like we've got until Christmas. I think what we should try and do is drag work experience Joe, who's, by the way, he lives in a pit on the top of a castle somewhere.
Hey, don't wind him up too much, because if he quits, we're done for.
No, literally, we're dead. Yeah, he's going to get at least, I'm going to get him a voucher for, you know, Barhouse toys or something. Might get him a Happy Meal if he's lucky. But I feel like there is like a, we're missing some relatively big guns. And I wanted just to touch on a few of those now. So for me, I haven't seen Lewis Taylor yet.
Nope.
Who's obviously a big gun. Steve Ferguson. Luke Moore. Haven't seen Luke Moore. I could be wrong.
I think there is. There was one with Luke Moore in the background, but Joe's cut it. And...
Well, I'm just making it clear.
Yeah, there is one. It's Gary Alexander and Luke Moore was in the background, but
right.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree with you.
Christian,
you
know, Jolly.
Why? Yeah. You know one for me?
Yeah.
Mark De Bola.
Mark De Bola. Mm. Shane Smeltz.
Yep.
Lewis Cumbers.
Yep. Oh, also, did you see the one of Kerris Hughes?
Yes.
Looks like Joey and Charla from Friends.
It looks ridiculous.
We need some proper old school AFC. I want some first-year AFC.
We're missing
AFC
Well. We're missing
Daniel Kins.
Alan Innes.
Yep.
We're missing some really big Richard Butler, Steve Butler. We're missing the we've gone what I'd call commercial, which I'm absolutely fine to accept. You know, but we need the Seb Bavartas, the Wade Smalls, the Ryan Grays, the Drew Broughtons,
Drain Smalking,
the Drain, you know, him, Roscoe Desane. We don't have enough of those kind of players.
Yes.
And I feel like we've got the ability to continue this. I feel like we've got the energy now.
I don't want to see any more from this year's squad.
No. You know
I mean? So we've got Bugle. We've got a Sat. I know. We've got Ali.
We've got Bass.
We've got Billa. We've got Bass. Yeah, we've got...
We've got Pell.
We did have two Harry Pells come in. One was a previous Harry Pell to this Harry Pell.
Not having it.
But we've got, like, last year's squad as well, which I don't want to see. Like, Matt Haylock from the club shop sent in him and Finn.
Tony Finn, excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Brilliant. That's what we want. There's one here, though, and we're going to go on to...
We haven't even got a Yakuba in. Come on.
Big Tone sent one of his son and someone that I had no idea who it is.
Excellent.
So if people can tell me who it is... Also, he's got Charlie Strutton. That's what we want.
That's the standard. We've not had Dave Fry.
Big Tone has kicked this out of the park because, as I said, he's on about 50 of the photos. He must, as I said to you, we could have played this game with just him. This was what I said last week because he loves a selfie of a player.
Charlie
Strutton's
out.
And people that we have no idea who they are.
Yeah,
they're the ones
we're
want.
After. That's the standard we're on.
But we're continuing this.
Yeah, but the key is that we also need other people to not know, but others, whoever sends a picture in, to know exactly who it is.
Yes.
Seb Bavarta. I mean, you know, we could go on about these for hours. We do need, though, those kind of players. I didn't remember even seeing Kevin Cooper, you know. I could be wrong.
No, Kevin. We've got Glenn Schimmel.
Well, of course. But no
Kevin Cooper, Mark 1 or Mark 2.
Interesting. So I think we need to really focus no more league-level Dons players.
I don't want to see the last two seasons, last year and this year.
I'm bolder than you. I don't. If it's not Brett Johnson, I'm not interested.
Some people didn't read the rules or hear the rules properly either, which shows they're not listening to the podcast properly,
which is disappointing.
Right? Because
I mean, do we need to? So just to recap,
we were getting many duplicates, and
they've got to read the room more, haven't they?
And I don't want to see duplicates. You know what I mean?
We're not interested in that kind of behaviour. That kind of behaviour will not be tolerated.
I don't want to see.
So we want individuals, new players uploaded, would be amazing. Now, a personal plea, as it's Christmas, and we're getting near the end of the day, I want Vinnie Jones. I need to speak to him. I've never met him. He's literally my entire world. I don't ever get particularly animated or wow, and I've never met him. and I want to get a picture with him, and I want that to be my picture on this gallery.
I'm sure some other the program he's doing on TV at the moment.
I know, but I can't go on the telly, can I?
Not, no, so, yeah.
I'm a fat Ben Affleck. I'll embarrass him. So if anyone's got any kind of connection with him at all, if they can just link me up.
I'm a bit annoyed actually as well.
I want to shout out
one of my friends, Bournemouth Dave, who now lives in Florida, Tampa, Florida. Looks like remember Ashley from Coronation Street?
Ashley Peacock,
I see it. He met Robbie L, right, in Tampa.
Yeah.
Didn't send in his picture of him and Robbie L.
Interesting.
And he listens to the pod religiously, apparently.
Well,
disappointed in you, Bournemouth Dave.
Bournemouth Dave, who lives in Tampa.
Yeah.
Have you thought about considering calling him Tampa Dave now?
Well, no, because he's from Bournemouth. Sounds like a farmer still. Big Wimbledon fan.
So I'm disappointed in you, mate. We've got until Christmas. Let's get as many non-league.
I want to see obscure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak to the guy at work because I went to a wedding with Lewis and he was a brilliant bloke. But I didn't get a selfie with him. I'm not really a selfie-er, to be honest with you. If I see someone, I'm not that bothered.
Well, the problem is the cameras nowadays, they don't have the wide lens, do they? So that's probably why you can't get in the photos. Sure. But I want to see a Mehmet. I want to see a Seb Vivar.
Mehmet.
Right. I don't want to see. We got Tony Wheeler sent in a Rambo. Tony Wheeler's got about 10 kids. His selfies up all day long.
We really need to go lower. I mean,
I don't want to see Jack Curry.
No, Steve said, I'm not interested.
Someone did send in, this is a great one. Adamona? Is it Adamona, the striker we had?
I don't know, but I like it already.
They sent him
I
in.
I want Paul Scott. Past. I want Nathan Elder. I want Dave Sargent.
Also, very brave of someone to send in Kwesi Appiah. Well, that was... And Alex Woodyard.
They're all great. No Ollie Palmer either, which was interesting.
Good.
I don't remember seeing Ollie Palmer. But we do need, definitely want those non-league players. But if you have got one that we haven't got, I'm sure we'll speak to
the 100. I'll post 100 again tomorrow so people can cross-check. Do not send duplicates in, right? Because it's annoying. But yeah, let's get these in. Again, another one, Harry Forrester, sent in by Tony Wheeler. Unbelievable, mate. He must just go football and have selfies.
Were the wardrobes, did we get them too?
No. Nope.
Did we get no trotter, no sauce?
No. I thought we might get a trotter, but yeah, no. Yeah, disappointing. But yeah, we want to see more selfies, but with more obscure AFC Wimbledon players. Or Wimbledon players, if I'm being honest. I don't mind an Andy Clark or something like that coming into us either. Do you know what I mean? Right, we'll move on. And when we come back, we're going to discuss Johnny Jackson and is it time to extend his contract?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be discussing, is it time to extend Johnny Jackson's contract? So Johnny Jackson, I understand his contract, Dan, runs out at the end of the season.
Okay.
I think it's due. And there's a lot of talk now, is it time to extend it? We're coming into Christmas period. So we only have, 6 months left? Or less than that, really. No, it's about 6 months. It's about 5 months. But what are your thoughts on it? Because I've seen different views and points on it. I think we're kind of similarly on the same page regarding it. I know Mike Dore, Scores on the Door, has done a a blog recently where I think he discussed it on there. I haven't had unfortunate time to read it. If you Mike Dore, brilliant blogs most weeks,
yeah,
to be fair.
So, great job.
But yeah, I'm sure I read something that he was discussing on there and said that it's time to extend. What are your views?
No.
Why?
No. Great question. Really good question. I think for me, I don't think there's enough evidence that he is the person making the difference, if that makes sense. I think a lot of teams, you look at the manager, you look at certain things and go, he makes the difference, he makes a difference, he makes a difference. I'm just not convinced Johnny Jackson is the reason why. Well, I guess that's the question is, when you look at everything, Jackson and the like, the real thing that's changed this year is Craig Cope. And from the difference between last year and this year, I think the budgets are similar. I think the manager's the same. What we have had, though, is a change of recruitment. For me, that is where the real benefit has been made from a club point of view. I don't personally yet feel that it's Jackson's been the one. However, the difficulty we've got, to be blunt, is moving forward, we're going to need to make a call on this because my concern is who do we get? Now, I don't feel like right now loads of clubs are going to be coming for Johnny Jackson. I don't feel that way. But my concern is Craig Cope linked to Johnny Jackson? Or is that just a club thing now? Because if it's Wimbledon are going to be Craig Cope, that's what we've got, then that will be an interesting one. The other challenge is whether Johnny Jackson is the coach and he just coaches, or whether he's involved in the buying, selling and the maintenance of players. That's where I'm a little bit confused. But does he deserve credit? Yes. Are we on a good run? Yes. Are there things that we're doing this year that are better than last year? Undoubtedly. Is that Johnny Jackson's fault? That's where my issue is. Anyway, what do you think?
No, I half agree. And I think some people say that he is involved in the transfers as well. So some of the transfers are his. I'm not 100%. It would be good for Craig Cope to come out and say, do you know what I mean? Maybe do an interview. We'd love to interview him, but we got told we couldn't. And Dame Ackman's on board. Maybe that might change now. But yeah, I'd love to ask him the question of how involved is Johnny Jackson with regards to transfers. Craig Cope's getting a lot of praise, which I think is fair praise. But he's going to... I'll talk about him quickly because I know we're talking about Johnny Jackson now. But he's going to earn his salt when January comes. And if we lose Curry and we lose Ali, how we replace them. Or in the summer, how we replace them. And if we don't replace them well, then that's when the questions regarding Craig Cope will start happening, because at the moment, he's breezing it. Absolutely breezing it. The players that we signed have been spot on. And that's all been down, people are saying, to Craig Cope. But it could be that Jackson's involved in that as well and people are not being told that. For me, there's still some frustrations behind Jackson that I say, no, don't extend his contract. His subs still baffle me. Starting lineup sometimes still baffle me. Treating of the kids, I'm not sure if it's him doing the interviews and stuff or the questions that are asked to him by the club, but the 100% fit team, and then we go to Saturday and we've got two players injured.
Yeah,
that kind of frustrates me a lot. Do you know what I mean? I want my manager coming out and being honest
with
the fans.
There's no reason for it, though. Is there, like, what's
I'd wait at the moment till the end of January, because we're going to have to, as you said, we're going to have to make a decision, Dan, and we're going to have to take a punt at one point, because do we then go, you're doing a really good job for us, Johnny, you're our budget 16th, we're 10th.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're beating what we're
above it.
You're above what we your KPIs. And then we go, well, actually the Cowleys are still available and we can get them. Or do we just go, actually, loyalty is something that we have done last year. It'd be really weird to get rid of him at the end of this season when he's done better, but we didn't sack him last year. And I know that was a cost thing of why we didn't sack him, because Mike Buckley said that at the meet the manager thing, that we didn't sack him, which was a really weird thing to say at the time. We didn't sack him because of cost. So at the end of the season, when he's out of contract, it would cost us nothing anyway. But it would be weird to have a season and the players. I think it depends on who we're getting in January, who we lose in January. that's when we extend and how we're doing in January. Because at the moment, we're on a good run of form.
Yeah.
And I think I'm half and half, because half of me thinks, yes, we need to extend it. He's doing a good job. And the other half thinks me, personally, I'm not still overly keen on him and some of the decisions that he makes.
Well, more importantly, though, there's another side to this. Does he want to stay? Like, he's a football manager. His contract runs out at the end of the year. He's done okay at Charlton. He's probably, if you look back at him at Wimbledon, you would say, okay, maybe. Is he, you know, would he want to stay? Is he thinking, yeah, thanks for the run, I'll have a look somewhere else? I mean, that's the other interesting challenge, is we're talking about us extending it. Maybe he'll go, no, I'm all right, thanks. Not interested. I just feel like...
I just don't know where he goes after us, though, at the moment, Danny, because he hasn't won anything. He hasn't got us promoted. He had a really bad season last year, so his stock's not exactly going to be piled high. And there are some good managers out there that are free agents still at the moment.
Then why would we have him then?
Because we hired him at the time when he'd done an okay job at Charlton. So he'd done an okay job. And as most people say, cheap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At that time, we're not going to get the managers that we were after. And he was probably come cheap. He, as I said, he didn't
he won't
do
be cheap. I wouldn't have thought he'd be cheap now, though.
He didn't do a terrible job at Charlton.
No, but I mean, I think if he stays, he'll have to be paid more. You can't, you won't be there. He's done 2 years in the job. He's shown clear progress. For me, if you look at last year, the failings of last year, and the way that we went about our business.
But then your last year was not his squad. This is his squad now. He's got rid of some of the dead weight. In the summer, we're going to get rid of more dead weight.
He picked all of the loans. It was as much his squad as everything else.
Last season?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not 100% sure on that. Well, I think this season
we have
a clear look at the players we signed this year. Bass, Johnson, just on loan, Bass, Lewis, Lemony Evans, three different types of players. All, you know what I mean? I know this is on code, but...
Yeah, that's my...
This
that's
is his
my
squad. Own. This is his squad. And one of my mates, I think Matty mentioned it the other day, we're slagging off Davison and we're slagging off Pierce and Brown and things like that. They were our first teamers last year. They were first team players. They're now on our bench. That is progress. And he has made that progress of moving them from first team to bench. Then in the summer, Zanev, Brown, Pierce will go. Davison might stay because he's under contract. But then three will be gone. And that would be three more players that we all hoped at the end of the season they would be cold. Yeah? We got told there'd be a cut. So they'll be gone. He'll bring in... That'd be wages that he'll spend. Probably Pell might go as well. And there'll be wages to spend. And as I said, at the moment, we're all saying, well done, Craig Cope, well done, Craig Cope. But Johnny Jackson has to take a bit of the praise.
Yeah,
the players that we've got in, the way we're playing football currently at the moment. Yeah, we had a couple of bad results against Morecambe and the other one, I can't remember it now. But other than that, the results are good. The performances are better. Plough Lane's a better place to go and watch football nowadays. You can't keep saying it's everyone else when the manager's doing an okay job. As I said, there's still things that frustrate me, but then am I looking back and thinking of last season again?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting that because, as I said, his subs baffle me sometimes, late subs. But again, he's only in the job 2 years now. He's only been a manager for three.
I mean, I counter you on that, on the fact of when Ali's not played, we've looked well average. And that realistically, the conversation, like we said last time, about star players and stuff, Ali not playing, we look out of everything. We don't look sharp. We look disinterested. We're nowhere near the same team without one player. And whether or not we've been lucky on a recruitment, I don't really see it's necessarily the way that we play. I don't know, if I'm honest with you. I think it's a really good question, and I think it's an apt question, and I think it's time for that question to come out. It's a really fascinating subject because I still feel like Robbo would have been great now. But I'm not dissatisfied with our team. In fact, anything, but we're in a really, really good place. And I'm just really frustrated that I still feel like I've got a disconnect with the manager. I'm really frustrated that I still don't have that thing where I'm like, oh, Johnny Jackson's great. I just don't have it. And it's annoying me that I don't have it, but I don't.
I can't find a way.
I don't know what the connection problem
and
is.
And it's got to be down to last season, and last season hurt a lot. And the fact of who he was, I'm trying to give him a massive second chance, which I think I have. As I said, I can see both sides of the thing. At the moment, I wouldn't extend it right now, but I would be looking at after Christmas period, January, see who we sign, see who we lose. Massive worry for the club. And as I said, this is where Craig Cope will start asking questions on Craig Cope soon, is how we replace Ali. Okay, because it was Johnson apparently who signed Ali, who's now at Coventry. They're looking at him. But people said it was Craig Cope who got Ali in. Once we lose Ali, who do we replace him with? And I think year on year, we replace our strikers very well, year on year, most of the time. So we replace Main, Kedwell, replace them with Lahren, Bayo, Aziz. Do you know what I mean? We replace them with Piggott and who else do we replace him with? Can't remember now. But you know what I mean? We usually do well with our strikers. It's how we replace Ali, because Ali is phenomenal at the moment for us. I think he's involved in the most goals for us, and it is frightening how much he does raise our game. And I did say this to you a couple weeks ago about we're a one-man team. You weren't having it. But yeah, that's where Johnny Jackson and Craig Cope, if we can keep them until the summer, then I think they'll have the summer to rebuild and give them time. We can't lose them in January, and that's why I would hold off just at the moment extending Johnny Jackson's contract till January to see who we sign, where we are amongst it in the league. Do you know what I mean? And then maybe
I think it's a great, I think it's a really interesting topic. And it is one of those things where you very rarely hear managers running out of contracts and they go, I don't know many who just go, right, my contract's up, I'm off. It's not something that overly comes up. Normally a manager is sacked before they walk. And they normally, if they walk, they go walk into another job.
I don't think I've ever heard of a manager where he's been let go at the end of the season because his contract's not been renewed. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, there has been some. But, you know, you get like the Roy Hodgsons of the world who go, right, my contract runs out, I'm not interested.
That's a guy who's like pretty much retiring, but I'm talking about a young manager. I don't get how we let it, unless we free fall from now to the end of the season, he is performing above the level that we expected.
Yeah. But like you said, it'll be Ali. You know, Ali. You know, Ali being sold. We've obviously got the Asia Cup as well. So for me,
that's the whole of January is gone.
Well, it's definitely from, I think it's the 13th. So for me, if we don't sell him before the 13th, you're not selling him, because no one's going to take a punt while he's in Asia in case he gets injured or whatever. I think it's interesting as it stands. He's done a good job this year, or the club or the team are doing well, and ultimately, you know, it's his name at the top. So he has to take full responsibility of that. We're playing better football, younger players, introducing younger players. As it stands with this group, if you can keep hold of Lemony Evans, if you can keep hold of Lewis, sell Hamady, get money in, we, as a longer term, we're now going to become more sustainable, but the hardest thing to replace are goal scorers. Always have been, always will be. They cost money. We got very, very fortunate with Ali that we've turned a rough diamond into something really, really special.
Into a diamond.
Literally a proper...
Sapphire.
Well, steady on, mate.
I think we need to show Jackson a little bit more respect. We need to forget about last season and go... Let's not praise Craig Cope as much as we do. Praise him because he's done a great job and signings have been brilliant. But let's also give Johnny Jackson some praise in the fact that the players that have come in and we are playing a better way of football now.
Are you now JJ?
I'm Jackson still. He frustrates the life out of me still. And it really annoys me because I think I'm the same as you. I really want to love the guy. But in interviews, he still doesn't come across overly well.
Yeah, agree.
But then that's just probably his personality and the way he is. Do you know what I mean? But
you don't come across very well a lot of the time as well.
No, I know. Just lucky I've got good looks and my charm.
Yeah, that's true.
And well, that's what the wife says anyway. But anyway, we digress again. Yeah, well, it is. I'm the same as you on that. I think a few of my mates are the same as well. Is that they really, they don't know why, but there's just something about him that they just still can't fall in love with. It's mad, but hopefully we can keep the results going and it'll get that extension. At the moment, I know people want security and stuff and in jobs, but football ain't like that. You don't always get that security. And I think at the moment, I'd hold off another month or two before offering him a new contract.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Right, we'll come back and we'll discuss the big game on Saturday at a sold-out or close-to-sell-out Plough Lane against Wyndham.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back for the final part of the episode. We're going to be previewing the massive game against Swindon Town on Saturday. Swindon come into Plough Lane, close to sell out. I said to you earlier, Dan, one big thing annoys me is the club keep harping on about it's going to be a sellout instead of maybe pushing the fact that we all know it ain't going to be a sellout.
Yeah.
Push the fact that you can sell your ticket back or you can give your ticket back to the club and get seats sold if they need to be, because I'd hate people to not be able to go Swindon at home, because there will be some empty seats, and get people in the ground buying stuff at the club shop, buying stuff in the bars and stuff. And that's what I think we need to do a little bit more of. But from a ground, I don't know how Swindon are doing. Do you? I haven't really looked into it.
Swindon and us are very, very similar, almost in terms of they got absolutely smashed, didn't they, in the FA Cup by like 7-0. They've got that main forward who is scoring absolutely bundles. What's his name? We'll come to me shortly.
Good research.
He is called Young. He's got 16 goals.
What, this year?
This year, Jake Young, his name is. He's 22. 19 games, 16 goals. He was at Forest Green last year, I believe. So he's scored an absolute bundle load. They're a biggish team. They'll bring some numbers. I don't know much more about them. They, again, like I said, apart from him, they've got another guy who scored 10, Dan Kemp, on loan.
He's scumbag.
Yeah, I think he might be from there.
Yeah, he's the one who scored for Hartlepool. They done the old Hartlepool done the boy.
That's
Don,
exactly
Don
what he
Good.
Is. So
that
now
worked,
he
that
is...
worked that well for Hartlepool, didn't it? Your mug.
Yeah, well, he's on loan.
Yeah, he's
on loan
get
from
stick.
There, I think, as well.
Yeah, he'll get hopefully get some stick.
And this Jake Young was at Bradford City, Barrow, Forest Green. He scored. It's weird. He's one of these lads who hasn't really done it. Football's mad. Their top scorer, Forest Green, 12-62. Bradford, 4-12. Barrow, 9-17. Swindon 16-20, like mad, isn't it?
Yeah, football's mad. I'm just looking at their results, and they had they beat Newport in 14th of October. Then they drew against Salford, lost to Gillingham, lost to Scum, got smashed by Aldershot in the FA Cup, lost to Colchester, lost to Stockport, drew with Harrogate. Then they went and beat Mansfield, which is a great result.
Yeah, very good result.
It's a good team. And then they went and beat Accrington 4-3. So they've stopped the rut just before they play us. And I said they were on a really barren run of form. But they still sit, 8th in the league, I think it is. Yeah, they still sit 8th. 1-8, drawn 6, lost 6. So, yeah.
And top scorers, though, in the whole league.
Yeah, they've got 7 goal difference, same as us. I think it's going to be a good... Hopefully, we'll see a good game of football. Both teams will go for it. They've got a goal scorer. We've got a goal scorer. So... Yeah, it'd be 0-0.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be... we're bang on halfway. We're roughly where we want to be. I think it's another little test for us at home. I think we'll draw. I think it'll be 1-1. And bizarrely, I think their top lad will score and I think our top boy will score. But I'm just hoping that Biller comes back with a crash and where he's ready and fully fit. So
he played on Saturday, mate. He played on against Ramsey. Yeah.
But you know what he's like, though. He's the kind of guy that comes out of it. And I guess we're just about to come up to a very, very busy period. It will be interesting as well. Those guys who play well at Ramsgate, the Nerfields, Lemony Evans, which one are they going to go with in terms of
Willie bring Tilly back in?
And Billa, whether Johnny Jackson genuinely sees Billa as his number one right back. I think he does. I think a lot of the team will kind of pick itself.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, that position there is really interesting because Ogun Dear came in, didn't have any competition, done really well, and then he kind of slipped out a little bit, you know what I mean? And then Billa's come in, does really well again, gets himself sent off though. But then Ogun Dear's come in and they're pushing each other now really, really, really well, which is good. I'd start Billa, I'd start Lemony Evans, I'd start pretty much the same team that started. I'd maybe bring Tilly back in for Nerfield, but I thought Nerfield played well. He'll be high on confidence.
Did Tilly play against Ramsgate?
No, he was on the bench. Nerfield came in for him.
Oh, interesting.
So for me, the next 2 weeks are really interesting because we got Swindon, Salford. Swindon and Salford. So two tough games, one away against two tough opposition who score goals for fun, but they also concede. And in that period over Christmas, we have four winnable games.
Yeah.
I mean, you have your Crawleys, you have your Colchester, Sutton at home. Yeah. And then
we've got New Year's Day, fresh green away.
Yes. Do you know what I mean?
So win all of them are.
All four of them games are winnable games. And I hate the word free hits a bit.
I hate it
massively.
I can't say potential. You can't say free hit.
But these next two games have got a potential to be a free hit. The two words we hate the most, but they are because we got four games. But I think, it's really weird because the other week we said how many points do we want from them. I think Saturday it'd be a draw. I think it'd be a Desmond.
Yeah.
And
you love a Desmond, don't you?
Mate, we can score goals for fun. And the problem is a lot of teams in this league can as well. Look at results nowadays in football. It's just like they beat Accrington 4-3 the other day. As I said, in their run of games at the moment, I don't think they've not conceded a goal, Swindon. Do you know what I mean? So you only have to look at that and go, well, that's, where is it? 4-3, 2-1, 1-all, 4-2, 3-1. They score every game, but they also concede. Do you know what I mean?
Great. They're both well for
We are 2-0, 4-2, 1-0, 5-0. Do you know what I mean? So we're defensively very good. So I don't know. It's hard at the moment. But yeah, I think we'll draw. I'll take a draw now and then draw against Salford and then win the next four games. But we'll talk about Salford next week.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's just one of them things where I guess, where are we as a group and where our aspirations lie? If our aspirations lie about being promoted, this is the kind of game for me at the moment, you can't lose. You can get a draw, but you don't lose this one. Whereas as we move forward, if you've got aspirations to not get promoted, but you're just happy to keep doing, we're now in a position where I feel like we're safe. There's no drama about potential relegation as such. But what it is now, though, is a case of, right, well, how good are we going to be? If we're not going to finish top half, there's going to be a lot of questions asked for me. Because it's as good a squad as we've had of this level for a while. It's the first year in ages that we've actually been a winning team. There's some players that I'd like to see permanent. There isn't a load of players in that top. Well, if you fill up the first team and the bench, there aren't many people I'd want to get rid of. So with that in mind, that means that we've got to push. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not this is the game where we find out where our promotion possibilities are against the team who are probably another lot. I think we're both in a very, very similar space. We're kind of on the verge of gate crashing this playoff situation. The top three, I think, will go away. I think Stockport will go. I think Wrexham will go. And I do think, I know they're not third now. I think Mansfield will go. And then it will then be left to a bit of a scrap. We want to be in that scrap.
For me, with Mansfield, it depends on their injuries and stuff and how their squad, because Wrexham will buy players in January.
Yeah.
And Stockport will have that luxury as well. I think the games, as you said, is crucial if we have any aspirations of getting into the playoffs, because it might then change Ali's mind that he might go, right, I'm going to stay here now till the summer. try and get you promoted, try and help you promote, then I'll move on to say Championship. But if we're not near it and stuff, he might then go, well, I want to shoot off in January. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good game of football. Hopefully we can get at them. They'll probably come to get at us as well, because again, at this time, as you said, both teams are probably not going to go down. So why not just try and go and beat each other? I hate it when...
Are you flying over to Ibiza?
I'm not going. No, I don't think I'll even be watching it, unfortunately.
What?
I'm mate, work is... It's Christmas, you're mate, it's working.
Yeah,
they chucked me out the other week, so I'm barred. But no, either that or...
I told you not to wheel over the carpet.
Or I'm taking... one sec. I just got cramped halfway through the podcast. Oh, that really didn't go well there.
Anyone who says that running a podcast is not a dangerous business and you don't need a level of fitness, they need to learn from that.
Yeah, anyway, I might take the family up to London to see the Christmas lights, because some things are more important.
Why don't you take them up to London to see the Christmas floodlights?
Yeah, well, mate, I'd love to, but yeah. Mate? Missus ain't having it. I'm going to have another chat
back,
with her tonight.
London. I mean, I don't know what you're moaning about.
Yeah, agreed. But I don't know. No, I think I'll probably, to be fair, I'm probably going to be working because work is manic. But yeah, are you going?
Well, yes, my father and I will be going. For the fans who want to know, by the way, Mrs. Finch today referred to myself and Lee as
plebs.
Was it Wahad plebs?
Wad.
Which, again, I did ask Lee to sort his marital situation out. He's failed to do so. He's failed his obligation as host and as a general chap.
I sorted her out during the week.
Well, you haven't dealt with the situation.
I gave her a proper sorting out, 2 minutes.
Right.
It's the best I've done. And yeah, it obviously hasn't worked. So I'm going to have to give her a sorting out. I think the problem is, I think she listens. And when you say give her a sorting out, I think that's why she does it, because she wants me to sort her out more. But.
Wow.
I mean, better than Pablo doing it. But
yeah, that's true.
What was I going to say? The funniest thing is, you know, I said I ain't going Saturday because I'm working.
Right.
I am actually going to Salford.
Well, there we are then. What are you talking about?
And that's the Saturday before.
I'm working. Don't worry about Christmas. You'll still be there when you go back.
That's Saturday, like literally a week before Christmas.
Why can't you just go to the game but work on the way and work on the way back and earn loads of cash?
Doesn't work like that, Danny. I'm not a London taxi driver. I work Southend, mate. Southend licensed Hackney Carriage black taxi driver.
Sat-nav, mate.
But yeah, I am going to Salford. Can't wait, me and the boy. I booked that in. Got the permission slip in early with the missus. So that's
think
one.
So.
I have to do that nowadays.
Yes, she signed it.
No, it's a full signature, but she don't know that. Right. I have to thank Season Master for sponsoring this season's podcast. Thanks to Gary Fletcher and the boys. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, Danny.
Oh, stop it.
Good idea for once on the pod. I've only been going 4 seasons. Well done. Anyway, that's us done for another episode. See you next week. Come on, you Duns.
What balls?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.